Nevada's urban hubs and hidden rural pockets have long been dotted with neon signs. Authors Peter and Sheila Laufer used to live in Silver City and have crisscrossed Nevada three times over 40 years hunting that neon. Their book, Neon Nevada, captures the changing story of neon across the region with colorful images and detailed narratives. Holly Hutchings caught up with them to learn about what they saw on their nocturnal quests.
You two have traversed the state of Nevada three times on a quest to document and photograph neon. Why did you do that?
Well, the first time for our own entertainment. The second time when the University of Nevada Press said yes to the first edition so that we could look at what was going on more then. And the third time for the second edition, which is by Globe Pequot Press.
And what is your connection to Nevada?
Well, we met there, and our first house was there, and we were married by the side of the Carson River.
Aw. How did you plan these vast undertakings?
I don't think it was so very planned. I think we just decided, okay, let's start looking here, wherever we were at the time.
And we would just start asking people where there was a sign that might be intriguing, or we would look for places that were off the usual interstate type routes and see if there were towns far from the side of the road, the usual roads, that might harbor something. Word of mouth would send us to places, and friends who had made trips and knew what we were doing would give us indicators. And we were on the road a lot, so we would find stuff serendipitously that we didn't necessarily expect to find.
We definitely wanted to go back to the places that we had been before to revisit, to observe, or if some of the old signs were gone, and many of them were, of course.
This sounds like such a treasure hunt.
It definitely was like a treasure hunt, for certain. Going back and going to places where we had seen signs that were intriguing to us, that we felt were even works of art, and seeing them gone made us feel that the earlier trips were worthwhile because we had documented these pieces of Nevada history that had disappeared.
In Winnemucca, there was a Union 76 sign that you came across, kind of off of the newer beaten path. It's a big semi-truck that looks pretty battered.
The way it's weathered is extraordinary.
We never saw it lit.
And it was derelict by the time we found it.
It was that part of town.
Winnemucca had a little bit of a neon revival, although not with this sign in this area. But up the street, there were more new neon signs like the Flyin' Pig Barbecue.
It is an opportunity for us. It was an opportunity for us to see how things such as the Flying Pig showed up because of this renewed appreciation for neon. And the Flying Pig had a story. I'm just asking
the guy
Sheila.
Was just thrilled. It was a new business. He just thought that pig ought to have wings. And thus it does. So it's a Flying Pig.
Sheila, are there any signs that have come down that you've seen in your travels that you were particularly upset or disappointed about?
Yes, I think. But actually, it was Peter's favorite, was the girl in the martini glass. Was she in Elko?
She was in Elko.
Yes. And she disappeared completely. And no one, some people remembered it, but no one could tell us what happened. We had a lot of postcards, and we still have some that were made of that image.
Were you looking forward to seeing her again, and she was just gone?
Yeah, she was gone, and her tawdry curtain was gone, too.
How do you view neon through the lens of your jobs as a journalist and a photographer?
Well, neon, as we documented it and relate to it from a journalism standpoint, really is a window into the development of the Nevada culture as a unique element in American society. Neon represents an opportunity to get access to what makes Nevada special. Of course, there's neon everywhere, but the reflection of Nevada in neon goes back to almost the beginnings of the state's culture as we experience it today, as it is referenced when people think about Nevada as a unique piece of Americana.
And it's historical. It's an historical representation of what was.
How would you guys say you feel about neon now that you've done this trip three times and, you know, you've had some distance from the last time?
Well, that's an interesting question. What can I say? I think it's too bad that so much of it is missing, especially from the time when we lived there and felt like it was an important thing to document at the time then. And so it's kind of seen its heyday, in my opinion, at this time. We will see if that changes. It could.
In some ways, the resurgence makes it not mundane, but common. Whereas when we were looking at it the first trip, it really felt vulnerable and that it might be gone. And in fact, things are gone that are not being replicated. Things like the Shorty's sign, like the woman in the martini glass, that have that 1940s, 1950s ethic to them and a feeling for the unique craftsman who made it, rather than some of what's on the strip or in other glitzy places that has a cookie cutter aspect to it.
And do you plan on making the trip again?
Nah, we did it. We feel comfortable. There has to be something else out there for us to do and almost get divorced over.
That's a long road trip.
Yes.
They were.
They really were long road trips. And as Sheila said, in the night, in the cold Nevada night, because those cold, crisp winter nights were best for getting clear pictures. And although sometimes, like with that 76 truck stop, it makes sense to take it in the daylight because it's not lit any longer. Most of the work was done at night, wrestling with angles, climbing up on top of our Volkswagen camper to get eye level with the signs. And so, not to suggest it was miserable, on the contrary, it was joyful, but it was arduous.
Peter Laufer and Sheila Swan Laufer, authors of Neon Nevada, thank you so much for your time.
And thank you,
Holly. It's a pleasure, Holly. We're glad to talk with you about neon.